Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'll be your host for this coming hour. I'm Ursula Rudenberg. Thank you for listening in. We got two really great interviews in this coming hour. We'll be hearing in-depth about the Healthy Living Center in Ames, a proposal that will be coming to the citizens of Ames as a bond issue for a referendum in September. And we'll get a detailed description of exactly what the plan is. Also, very interesting interview with Wynn Cowger, who was a former Iowa State student who wrote a published paper on anthropogenic litter. What is anthropogenic litter, you ask? Well, stick around. You'll find out. I don't have much time today to talk about the wild ones. Just suffice it to say that even though I gave the groundhog her space this year and let her have the garden, now she and her babies are sitting on our porch steps and they're trying to eat the parsley in my herb box. Enough said about the groundhog. Here's Mr. Dennis Hart with the roundup of last week's local news from the pages of the Ames Tribune. It's all yours, Dennis.
Thanks very much, and hello, everyone. Let's start our rundown with a quick look back at a story that made news last Friday. Word that attorney Josh Opperman had announced he'd like to be considered for the vacant seat on the Story County Board of Supervisors. Opperman had previously run for the board last year and lost by about 800 votes to Supervisor Rick Sanders. Now, Sanders has left the board, and a committee composed of the Story County Auditor, the Recorder, and the Treasurer plan to meet this week to talk about the finalist pool. A new supervisor will be sworn in at next Tuesday's Board of Supervisors meeting. Saturday's trip brought word that one of the two remaining suspects being sought in connection with a home invasion, assault, and robbery in Kelly had been taken into custody in Des Moines. 20-year-old Manuel Balderas was booked into the Polk County Jail, then transferred to the Story County Jail. Another suspect had been arrested in Texas last month. Authorities were still looking for the third suspect. They are all suspected of taking part in an assault against an 82-year-old woman. Also last Saturday, a report on the visit of Democratic presidential hopeful John Hickenlooper, who showed up in Boone on Friday. He said he plans to use pragmatism, not socialism, to defeat President Trump. He identified three main issues: climate change, health care, and the issue of automation and artificial intelligence and its impact on workers. There was more last Saturday, including a story about the new mural that had been painted at the North Grand Mall in Ames. The mural was added to a previously blank wall outside the mall's North Grand Cinema. Kip Davis of Ames helped lay out the design and painted the wall. The design showcases Ames' history and attractions. And there was word last Saturday that a Florida native who moved to Iowa and who says he loves the state had opened a new business in Nevada. It's called USA Customs and Fashion. It's on 6th Street in Nevada, and it features a variety of clothing, jewelry, and more. Owner Terry Scott said he's also looking into possibly bringing a nail salon business back to the store, which had previously been occupied by a business known as VT Nails. Politics dominated the news last Sunday, with a report on the Democratic Party's Big Tent on the Prairie fundraising event at a local brewing company that drew three presidential hopefuls. One of them, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, who told the crowd he wants to make America work for working people again. He said, in his words, Americans are the hardest working people in the world, and added that they aren't getting their fair share. New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand was also there. She said President Trump is dividing the country on every socioeconomic, religious, and racial line. She also vowed to end gun violence and take on the National Rifle Association, and she added that she will push for elections that are publicly funded. And New Jersey Senator Cory Booker also appeared. He said that defeating President Trump next year should be, in his words, the floor, not the ceiling, for Democratic candidates. He said the election is not a referendum on one man or one office, but, in his words, a referendum on who we are and what we mean to each other. In addition to the story about the Democratic fundraising event last Sunday, there was also a story about a 19-year-old Boone woman who will not only be voting in her first presidential election this year, she's taking a major role in Cory Booker's campaign. Her name is Landra Reese, and she is now the youngest member of the Iowa Democratic Party's State Central Committee. Sunday also brought a report about the two-day statewide League of Women Voters convention that had taken place in Ames. That gathering celebrated 100 years of women's suffrage, and it culminated Saturday with a series of guest speakers. And there was one more story of note last Sunday. Word that the Story County Committee that will choose the person to fill the vacant seat on the Board of Supervisors planned to narrow the list of candidates to a pool of three or four names on Monday. Seven people had thrown their hats into the ring to replace Rick Sanders, who recently left his seat on the board. The vacancy committee planned to make a final decision yesterday, Thursday, so that a new supervisor could be sworn into office next week. On Tuesday came word that the Story County Committee chose five candidates to be finalists for the vacant supervisor's seat. Those five were Latifa Faisal, Lisa Heddens, Lynn Lathrop, Josh Opperman, and Patrick Sheets. The five were all scheduled to make presentations to the committee yesterday, Thursday afternoon. After the committee made its decision, the new supervisor would be sworn into office next Tuesday. The candidates were all trying to fill the seat left open by the resignation of Rick Sanders, who stepped down last month to become the new president of the Iowa State University Research Park. Tuesday also brought word that the number of cats recently rescued from a rural Madrid home was continuing to climb. The Animal Rescue League of Iowa reported that it had rescued 176 living cats from the property and found about 200 dead ones since rescue efforts started June 4th. More cats had been spotted on motion-activated trail cameras placed inside the house and outbuildings. 65-year-old Dennis Carlson was charged with animal neglect and failure to dispose of dead animals. He is scheduled to show up in court July 5th. Meanwhile, the rescued cats were receiving treatment and were being prepared for eventual adoption. Also Tuesday, word that Ames police were still investigating an accident that took place Saturday morning at Lincoln Way and Howard Avenue. Two people were injured in the crash, which involved a Jeep Liberty and a motorcycle. Both of the injured were on board the motorcycle. Authorities said the SUV was stopped at the intersection of Lincoln Way and State Avenue when the SUV's driver made a right turn at the red light onto Lincoln Way and started traveling east. The motorcycle was eastbound on Lincoln Way and collided with the driver's side part of the SUV. The motorcycle went off the road and onto a nearby sidewalk at Howard Avenue and Lincoln Way. Wednesday brought word that an Ames man was in custody after police said he tore down the pride banner displayed at the United Methodist Church of Christ near downtown Ames and set that flag on fire. 30-year-old Adolfo Martinez was charged with criminal neglect and disorderly conduct. Authorities said Martinez had been kicked out of a bar, returned, told a bar employee he was going to burn the place down, then left and returned with the church's pride flag. Authorities said he set it on fire on 5th Street. Police said Martinez admitted ripping the flag from the church at 6th Street and Kellogg Avenue, then burning it. The church's pastor sent an email to the congregation on Tuesday saying plans were in the works to replace the banner. Also Wednesday, a report on the informational meeting held Monday evening about the proposed Healthy Life Center in Ames. About 30 community members showed up at the Edwards Elementary School to hear plans for the proposed center, which would be built on 10 acres of land owned by Iowa State University on Ontario Road. The project is estimated to cost about $49 million, with contributions coming from six entities, along with about $5 million in private donations and $29 million coming from a bond issue that is scheduled to go before voters on September 10th. The Healthy Life Center would include a lap pool, a lazy river for water walking, water slides, a wellness pool, a gymnasium, indoor and outdoor playgrounds, an atrium space, a participation kitchen, an outdoor community garden, and more. The center could be opened by the spring of 2023. Two more informational meetings about the Healthy Life Center were set for this week, and two more will take place next week. The first one next week will be at 6 p.m. Monday at Meeker Elementary School. The second will take place Thursday at noon at Ames High. There was more Wednesday, including a report about Tuesday's Story County Board of Supervisors meeting. The supervisors agreed to accept applications to replace Deb Shildroth, who is leaving her county job as Director of External Operations and County Services in order to become Ames Assistant City Manager. The supervisors will accept applications until July 15th. The board also decided to take a closer look at an urban renewal project application from the city of Collins after some discussion about whether that city's application followed all the rules. Thursday, yesterday, brought word that the Ames City Council had delayed voting to approve construction of the proposed Miracle League Field and Inclusive Playground in Inez Grove Park until next week to ensure that all funding from the Ames Foundation is in place. The council did unanimously approve a plan that lowers the park's cost estimate to $2 million, contingent on a guarantee of the complete funding from the foundation. The cost-cutting measures included a reduction of concrete and the elimination of Miracle League Field lighting. But foundation officials said they're confident they'll be able to restore all that after their fundraising efforts are complete. Meanwhile, the council also delayed a vote on an ordinance that would have required short-term rentals to operate as vacation lodging properties. Short-term rentals are classified as ones with a 31-day stay or less. The discussion about them is a response to the state legislature's decision to prohibit municipal enforcement of rental cap ordinances. Also yesterday, a report on a candidate for the 4th Ward seat on the Ames City Council. Joe Van Erdwick is a SkyRide transit worker. He's running for the seat now held by Chris Nelson in the district bordered by Ontario Street, North Dakota, and North Highland Avenues. He's an Iowa State University graduate and says he wants to bridge the barriers between ISU students and permanent Ames residents. The election will take place November 5th. And one more note from yesterday, word that Cornbread Barbecue has opened its doors on Main Street in Ames. The restaurant is in the old train depot building, and its opening comes after a decade of planning. Now that the restaurant has opened, the Cornbread Barbecue food truck has been temporarily retired until the restaurant operations are running as smoothly as possible. And there you have it, your smooth as possible summary of the week's news from the pages of the Ames Tribune. I'm Dennis Hart, taking the weekend off now, but planning to return to this very seat on Monday, when I'll take a look at what made news all around Iowa. In the meantime, whatever you do, I hope you have a safe, healthy, and happy weekend.
This is Local Talk. I'm your host for this hour, Ursula Rudenberg. Thank you for listening in, and thank you, Mr. Dennis Hart, for a rundown of the local news from the past week from the pages of the Ames Tribune. Since 2016, the Healthy Life Center Collaboration Partner Team here in Ames has been meeting to develop plans for what is being called the Healthy Life Center. This is a project you probably have already heard about. And currently, a series of public meetings is being held to further explain and to answer questions in anticipation of a referendum that is coming up in September to vote on a bond issue to help pay for the Healthy Life Center. Here are three members of the planning team: Nancy Carroll, who is Executive Director of Heartland Senior Services, Keith Abraham, Ames Parks and Recreation Director, and Susan Guiasta, Ames Public Relations Officer. They're here to explain a little bit more in depth exactly what this proposal is, and we start the discussion with Keith Abraham letting you know about the referendum that's coming up on September 10th.
Just recently, City Council voted to go ahead with a bond referendum vote on September 10th for the Healthy Life Center. The bond vote would be for $29 million, in addition to $20 million that either the partners in the group or through local fundraising.
And that will be a municipal referendum for the people in Ames to vote on whether they want to go ahead with using tax dollars to pay for part of the center.
Yes.
Right now, do you have actually a literal plan of how it would look and where it would be, what would happen there?
We do have a conceptual drawing for the facility, and it's going to be located on Shoal and Ontario Road. There'll be a gymnasium. There's a space for Heartland Senior Services. There's a space for Mary Greeley Medical Center for their therapy program. There's a aquatic center. All those things are identified, but until the bond is passed, at that time, then we would go into final design and move forward for construction. We've spent the last 3 years really having a lot of discussion and talking to individuals in regards to what should be in the Healthy Life Center. So I think the components are pretty well set. It's just where they would be is what the final design would decide.
Why Shoal Road and Ontario Road?
The size of the building with parking and amenities, we needed about a 10-acre site, and it's very difficult to find a 10-acre site. So one of our partners, Iowa State University, they have this property that they were willing to lease to the city in a long-term contract for this facility.
Break down what the financial cost is. The $29 million is what taxpayers would contribute towards it.
Correct.
And how much is the total again?
$49 million, or project cost.
If this referendum passes and this center is built, how much would this cost a resident of Ames per year?
Based on assessed value of $100,000, residential property owner would pay $44 annually. Commercial or industrial property owner would pay $70 annually.
So a resident of Ames who has property, for every $100,000 that their property is worth, $44 towards the Healthy Life Center.
Yep, per year.
All right, thank you. So, and what exactly does that money pay for? It's not paying for the land. There's some rent.
So this would be a 20-year bond for $29 million. And that includes the debt payback on those bonds for the paying the $29 million to build it. And it also includes there's roughly about a $400,000 deficit annually to operate it because the revenues don't equal the expenses. So that's also included in that $44 or $70 for business and industry. The important thing for people to understand, though, on that $400,000 deficit is that $300,000 is being set aside in what we're calling a building depreciation fund. So that means $300,000 is going into a savings account so that in 10 years, when the building needs new windows, a new roof, whatever, the city's already going to have the money parked to go and get it and not have to come back to the residents a second time to say, oh, now we need X amount to maintain the building. No, the city's being very proactive, and hats off to the city for doing this because it really does protect the resident long term. So all of that's included, and let's just do residential, in that $44 annually per 100,000 cess valuation. And the reason we do the 100,000 cess valuation, it's easy to do the math to Key's point. If you have a 200,000 property value, 300,000, whatever, it's quick to do the math.
Okay, that 29 million essentially allows the city in the form of bonds to find the capital to build the center, to keep running it, and also to set aside money for future improvements and future needs.
Exactly. Well said. The thing that cannot get lost, though, in all the conversation is that, again, it's a $49 million project. Collaboration partners and private fundraising are bringing $20 million to the project to lower it to that $29 million. It's just unprecedented.
Money that's coming from partners, are there individuals involved and organizations?
The private fundraising went out to individuals. Bev and Warren Madden and Ann Campbell put together a team of about another 6-8 people, and for about 11 months, they went out and they raised $5.5 million. So there's naming opportunities, and there were some anonymous donors. It's just a variety, but $5.5 million. In addition, then, Heartland, Mary Greeley, they're going to be tenants within the building, so we have to bring our own cash to the project. And so when you put those now together of the collaboration partners and the private fundraising, that's how we're coming up with being able to lower the capital from $49 million to a bond issue of only $29 million, because we're bringing $20 million to the project collectively.
The partners in this project are Heartland Senior Services, Mary Greeley Medical Center, Story County Government, and the City of Ames. And then Iowa State University is, in a sense, cooperating with you by offering you land so that you don't have to buy land?
Well, probably the more dramatic aspect of both Iowa State being involved in the Des Moines Area Community College is once it gets open, the practicum and internships of giving students real world experiences, because they will be working in tandem with, let's just use in the participation kitchen, students that are majoring in food science, they will come in and offer some of those classes of how to cook and eat healthier. DMAC has one of the best culinary arts programs in the United States. And so they will be coming in from DMAC students and teaching gourmet cooking. So the student experience is what we're really, really excited about that DMAC and Iowa State bring to this programmatically once it's opened. The dean of the College of Human Sciences, Laura Jolly, has been on our team. So Laura Jolly represents, of course, kinesiology, exercise science, food science and nutrition, all of those departments that all, when you look at the life sciences, that's what this Healthy Life Center is trying to bring to life programmatically. So the students are just, again, I think going to be a key to the practicum, but then also the research opportunities could be limitless. So Iowa State is going to be just a key partner.
Let's talk a little bit about the concepts behind this, since we're already kind of on the topic. Can you talk a little bit more about what the goals are of the center in terms of conceptually what a Healthy Life Center is?
Well, I think one of the things that that we've talked about over the last 3 years is the whole idea of live well, be well. And there's three components of that: physical activity, health and nutrition, and then social connections. We developed that early on, and through all of our subsequent conversations, we've really looked at what needs to be in this facility to make that happen. Also, we talk about intergenerational facility. We're going to have older active adults in this facility that have a lot of experience and are willing to give back to the community. We're going to have a lot of youth in this facility. Intergenerational interaction is going to be really helpful. We're going to have an indoor playground. So get kids to come in when they're young. Have those families come in. Learn to maybe grow fruits and vegetables out in the garden and then bring those in and learn how to use them and cook healthy. We're going to have a walking track, a jogging track. We're going to have gymnasiums that will have courts that will be used for a lot of different activities: pickleball, badminton, volleyball, basketball, and who knows what else is going to be in there. So in the aquatic center, we have three pools, a 6-lane, 25-yard lap pool. We'll have a zero-depth entry pool with a play structure, a lazy river. We're going to have a wellness/therapy pool. But then all part of it is the social connections. There's going to be meeting rooms. There's going to be a healthy cafe. There's going to be an atrium where people can sit. But one of the things, too, is what's really unique is the walking, jogging track kind of goes through the whole facility. So at one point, if you're on the walking track, you'll actually walk over the atrium and it'll be open to below. You'll walk past the aquatics area and be able to see in. You'll be able to walk around the gym and see what activities. So it's really, when you're up there, hey, I come here to walk, but wow, I didn't know they had that activity, or I didn't know they were doing that. Hey, that looks like fun. Oh, hey, I know so-and-so down there. I should ask them what they're doing. So it's really bringing people in, giving them those things. How do you live well, be well, so people can have a very good life?
From a user perspective, I would say that the way that we live today, we have a lot of issues with sedentary lifestyles, with childhood obesity. And if you think about the climate that we live in a beautiful state that gets very, very cold. And there are a lot of barriers often to making that healthy choice. My children are older now, but when they were smaller, to find activities that we could do as a family in the winter, it was very, very difficult. Can you imagine a facility where you could go to, take your children, I could take my mother, we could go for a walk, we could have a cup of coffee, the kids could play. The idea of all these generations working together and addressing this really important health crisis that we're experiencing right now in the United States, chronic conditions often brought on by these sedentary lifestyles. This is a win-win-win for everybody.
Who put this concept all together?
Well, it all started back in February of 2016 when we all started knowing just through conversation that everyone had some sort of a need. So we just started talking the synergy. The city of Ames, we knew, wanted an indoor warm water recreational pool. And the Heartlands needed a new facility for probably 30 years. Baby boomers don't want this isolated senior center anymore. The pool part of this capital footprint is probably $19 million. So that's before the residents of Ames, when municipal gets demolished anyway. So why would you build that separate and then have an isolated senior center when most seniors, what they want is access to a warm water pool? So in the conversations early on, Mary Greeley Medical Center was saying, you know, we've got this small and antiquated therapy pool. How about if we bring Mary Greeley capital funds and put them in the same walls as the city talking about doing this warm water recreational pool? So you can just feel it. Everyone started to say, we have an independent need, but we can accomplish a lot more if we all think bigger under the same roof. Then we added, of course, in the components of what Keith went over, of the physical activities, but also the health and nutrition and social networking. And that's where Iowa State and DMAC get involved. And when we have learned, most rec centers in America have left out the kitchen part. And what we have learned from research at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester is you need physical activity and you need to learn how to cook healthier to be well. And so that's why we're very, very unique in America in saying we have to have a participation kitchen where people come together, learn how to cook, have fun, make friends, and want to keep coming back into that situation too.
So this is really a collaborative conversation that developed between many aspects of different agencies who discovered a mutual need.
That's right.
Was there a trigger for this conversation? How did it start?
Leadership on all of these fronts. So the spark was, we've all known each other. We talk and we communicate, and we always have this desire to collaborate in Ames. The City of Ames funds part of Heartland's budget as an asset agency, so we run into each other professionally a lot. Mary Greeley and Heartland have a relationship. Mary Greeley prepares our home-delivered meals. Mm-hmm. We coordinate the volunteers to deliver all of them. So there was that conversation there that around meals, but you also start just talking bigger. We all had needs, but it was this idea of what can we accomplish together that we could never do independently.
Susan, you are the public relations officer for the City of Ames. How do you see this affecting the way people see Ames?
We see this as a quality of life issue. What do we offer people who are considering coming to Ames, and what do we offer our current residents? What do they expect? A facility like this is really very progressive. It shows that we're forward-thinking. People moving here are expecting to be able to access amenities like this. We are looking at a workforce shortage, and we're looking at aging workforce as well. So how do we bring all those needs together and address them with one project? I think this does a really, really wonderful job.
I know that Mayo has a Healthy Life Center up in Rochester. Was that a model that you used?
There are several places around the country that maybe two entities have come together. We haven't found one that has put six partners together to really do everything that Nancy's been talking about.
It's one of a kind because six partners that all bring a certain area of expertise and professionalism and knowledge all are under the same roof. We really are excited about it's that health and nutrition piece with the physical, with Iowa State and DMACC, is how come we're going to hit a grand slam when it opens.
Can you guys really pull this off? Are you confident?
Well, it's the residents of Ames that now will answer that question.
Well, if they provide the money, can you pull this off?
You betcha. Yep.
Let's talk about where somebody listening to this can find out more. You do have information online, and I know that there's a series of programs that you're offering to the public. Would you tell us a little bit about where to find more information? Susan.
So whenever you need more information about the Healthy Life Center, we'll have the most up-to-date information online. That's at the city website at cityofames.org/healthylifecenter. But additionally, we want people to be able to come and interact and ask questions. So we have public meetings scheduled throughout various times this summer. The next ones will be Monday, June 17th, Thursday, June 20th, and Tuesday, July 9th. You can get specific information on those on our website. They're at different locations, so they're convenient for people and during different times of the day. I can just give them to you right now. Monday, June 17th, 6 p.m. at Meeker School. Thursday, June 20th, noon at Ames High School. And Tuesday, July 9th, 9 a.m. at the City of Ames Auditorium. I anticipate we'll add more to that as demand requires. So check our website, cityofames.org/healthylifecenter.
What concerns have you heard about the center there? People might have reservations about it.
I think money is always an issue. Anytime you're going to go and ask people to vote for something that's going to raise their taxes, that's always a concern, always a question. And that's why we really hope people attend these public meetings, multiple sessions, multiple locations, to answer that question. Here's what you get for your investment. Another one has been the location. People have said, oh, why does it have to be out in West Ames versus downtown Ames, or maybe in the existing open space at the Furman Aquatic Center? If you think about 10 acres of land, you need to visualize four bandshell parks stacked together. It's a huge footprint. And if you were going to try to come downtown Ames and do that, you would have to take out massive blocks of downtown Ames. The Furman Aquatic Center site is very interesting. The Furman Aquatic Center is built in the flood fringe. The balance of the site now does not accommodate another 10 acres. It's floodway. And the DNR, State of Iowa, restricts any construction in floodway. But I think those are the two main ones, money and location, and how much it will cost to use. It's generally proportionate to what it costs if you would buy a seasonal summer swim pass at Furman.
So people will have membership to the center to use it?
Passes. Keith is going to offer a lot of options for, again, you can do it from an electronic fund transfer and different things.
And Keith, will this be managed by the Department of Parks and Recreation, the center?
Yes, the facility is going to be owned and managed by the City of Ames. The department responsible will be Parks and Recreation.
Have you heard any other objections from the commercial sector?
Yeah, one concern that has been expressed, and we really understand and appreciate it, is it unfair for government to construct this kind of a capital improvement using public resources that it does take away potentially from their user base and their ability to generate revenue for a viable business, and we understand that. But what we would also suggest are the concepts are different. It's not a competition, it's a complement. The concept of the Healthy Life Center mirrors what a YMCA is trying to accomplish when you turn no one away. And you're going after the socioeconomic status of the fiber of your community. So our mantra from day one is that the Healthy Life Center is to help all ages and all socioeconomic status live well, be well. No one will be turned away. The other thing that we would suggest is the private sector does not have an indoor mini firm and aquatic center. They don't have an indoor participation kitchen. Those two pieces are what we believe are a differentiation between the Healthy Life Center and the private sector. But we, again, hope that it just buoys everybody up and gives everyone more opportunity to participate, whatever their specific interest level is. But those two are very different. And we're not trying to go after the student population for the Healthy Life Center. We're going after the long-term permanent residents of Ames from zero to 90.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Yeah, Ursula, as we've said throughout this, the concept and the project is very worthwhile. There's a lot of needs in the community that we've addressed earlier. And we really just encourage all residents to come to one of these sessions that we're going to be offering. Go to the website, find out more information, ask us, call us, you know, if you have questions, but really come out and really understand what it is so you can make an informed decision when it comes to September 10th for that bond referendum vote.